Father, we worship you and we thank you this morning again for bringing us together in fellowship. Blessed be the glory to him, Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for the time of singing praises. And we know you do inhabit our praises, Lord. We are confident, Lord. And we know you are in the midst of us. We all know all things only by the word of God. We ask you all to be gathered together in my name. That I am in the midst of them. Now, just a little while to read your word this morning. Heavenly Father, bless the reading thereof, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So, not too many Sundays ago, we talked about the condition of our planet, the earth, you know. And I would say that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It turns out that the Bible also talks of a new city. Yeah, there's a new heaven coming, a new earth. Also, he talked about a new city. So this morning, the new Jerusalem. Now, I want to read a couple of verses from Revelation 21. After all, a chunk of it actually. The Bible says, blessed are they that readeth and heareth the word of this prophecy. In the book of Revelation. For the time is at hand, and do those things which are written in them. So Revelation 21, I'm going to begin from verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had a seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride. See, the bride. The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The fourth foundation was a jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst, he said. And the 12 gates were 12 pillars, Every several gate was of one pure, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord Jesus, the New Jerusalem. So from this we see that there is not only to be a new heaven and a new earth, there is also to be a new city. And we know what makes up a city is not just the buildings and things like that, you know, or the streets or the boulevards and things like that. But really, in the real sense, it is the occupants, you know, of that city. So that is the New Jerusalem. Is the believer's eternal home. That's what it is. The New Jerusalem is the believer's, the bride's eternal home. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what it is, you know. This great city, the New Jerusalem, the believer's eternal home, commands our most earnest attention. Even the description of it is so wonderful, you know. The city is indeed unique, you know. The most notable metropolitan center of this earth today, where people have numbered the most beautiful cities in the world, Venice in Italy, Paris, Prague, Lisbon, name them. All these have evoked the admiration of men. And all of them, by comparison, miserably, they are just imitations, miserable imitations compared to the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. They are just nothing. Anyway, Christ is the king of this great celestial habitation, a city extending in three dimensions, 12,000 furlongs, or if you want to convert it, that is 1,500 miles each way, because we know that each furlong equals 1 mile. Revelation 21:16 says that, meaning that the dimension of it. That means it will occupy, when you measure it like that, it will occupy more than half of the United States of America. It has been calculated. When you take that together, the dimension, it will occupy more than half of the US continent, you know. That's how they calculated it and all that, you know. Literally, hundreds of millions of the redeemed might find place in its spacious quarter. This city is the place the Lord Jesus said he was going back to heaven to prepare for his bride, the church. Let me read to you in John 14. John 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, the Lord said. It is just such a place as we would expect the divine architect to design and build. For over 2,000 years now, he has been busy doing this. This magnificent creation that will lighten the world with his glory is no doubt nearing completion, if it is not already completed by now. Even Abraham was shown, and he talked about it, and look forward to it. Let's see about Abraham. You know, Abraham altogether saw about 10 visions, the Lord attached to him about 10 times. When you catch it all together, about 2 of them are actually in theophany. Some of them are attached to him in vision. Let's see some of the things that Abraham said in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But Abraham looked further than Canaan. What is he looking for? By revelation he knew, verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations. We just read it, right? There are 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, right? Mm-hmm. So, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Ooh. I go to prepare a place for you, right? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he appeared to him many times and so in the vision and so on, that you know. So even Father Abraham is type of the elect. He saw that and so for that, you know. So the description of this city is of surpassingly grand. As you can see, it is of celestial origin. There are no mortal hands employed in its construction. See? Abraham says, whose builder and maker is God, right? So, it is not really heaven itself, for in the Bible it says it is from heaven, right? Anyway, in verse 10 of Revelation 21, it says, it is city. Now, let me go back to verse 17 of Revelation 21. And he measured the word thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. That 144 cubits is translated to be 216 feet, and you know, according to measurements and so on, 216 feet, which is the height of the world, of the world. Now, the world itself is of jasper, the Bible says, and the foundations are garnished with all manner of precious stones. The foundation contains the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, as we read, and over the gate are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. What a magnificent spectacle such a city must present from a distance. It is lit up by the glory of God, we are told. Okay, verse 23 of Revelation 21. And the city had no need of the sun, like I said, it was lit by the glory of God, right? Had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Verse 18 says of Revelation 21, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, people have been to Dubai before. In Dubai, they have ATMs where you can actually, you know, dispense gold, right? That's what they say. I've said it myself. Yeah, you can go to ATM and cash gold and withdraw gold in Dubai today and so forth. That is nothing compared to this celestial city that the Lord himself built. Because in this city that we just read of, not as now, if this refers, in verse 18, if this refers to the houses and homes of the inhabitants, then it means the redeemed are to live in palaces of transparent gold. That's what it means. You look at verse 18, right? And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Bible says 21:21 of Revelation. So forget about dispensing gold. Even the very streets are of gold, you know, of New Jerusalem, the eternal home of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so we cannot imagine a city with such dwellings and streets to be unclean or lack beauty at all. It's wonderful. 24th verse of Revelation 21. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, this eternal home of the bride, right? Verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither
whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. These are the dwellers of this place, the bride of Christ. Now, that last section doesn't mean that, doesn't imply that there will be, there will be sin on the new earth. No. There will be no sin on the new earth either, you know. What we are saying here is that to show that the city will never be contaminated by evil or of any kind. It cannot be, you know. The kings of the nation shall bring their glory and honor into it, but nothing that will defy or work abomination shall ever enter through the gates of the New Jerusalem. Not at all. It will never happen. Now, let me say a little bit about the new earth that we may have missed last time. So, who are the inhabitants of the new earth? Talk about the New Jerusalem, the new city, and so forth. We talk about the new earth before. Who are the inhabitants of the new earth? Who are they? Let's see. The people who inhabited the earth after the flood were the lineal descendants of Noah, as we all know, you know. They escaped the flood in an ark, which God instructed Noah to build. Genesis 6:13-16 is where that is, as you know. Now, the question is this. Who are the inhabitants of the new earth? Don't forget that there is a renovation. A fire renovation of the heart, right? Will be renovated by fire and so on. That we know that. So now, part of renovation, who are the people that are going to be upon the earth and so on? Here is a question I put out. Shall not God then, during the renovation of the heart by fire, in some manner that we don't know as yet, right now, not yet revealed to all, shall he not take off righteous representative of the millennial nation that he proposed to save, and when the heart is again fit to be abode of men, place them back. I'm just thinking loud right now. Place them back on the new heart. So when they renovated by fire, can't he just like he did in the days of Noah, he used an ark in the days of Noah, right? Get Noah and the people into the ark and so forth. And then, you know, that happened as well. Can't he do the same thing with the righteous people at that time when they are renovated by fire and see them somewhere and place them back when the renovation is complete? Just thinking loud and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so, and so he is God. He is the Almighty God. We don't know how he will do it yet, but we know, you know, nothing is too hard for the Lord and so on. After all, we know that we know that Elijah, for example, you know, Elijah, if God could take Elijah off this earth and so on, for the purpose of sending him back again to herald the second coming of the Lord to the Jews and so on, that, you know, surely God can take off representative men from the nations and put them back again on the new earth to repopulate it. You can do it. Again, we're just thinking loud here. We're not dictating how God will do things and something like that, you know, but we're just thinking loud. So anyway, so we see. It is clear from the scripture that God does not propose to create a new race for the new earth. No, but to use, no, he didn't say to create a new race, right? No, he didn't say that in the Bible. So then, when the earth is being renewed by fire, where are we going to be? If he took Elijah away, and to bring him back again, and then Noah, in his own time, you know, when he was cleaning up the earth and wipe it out, you know, he created an ark. It's not too hard for God to take the people who are righteous and so on, off and renovate and bring them back. Just a last thought here, right there, and so on, you know. Well, the promise of God to Israel is that to show that he will not go to create a new race. No. You know, or a new, you know, or like the time of the pandemic flood, right? Where we don't know what happened there, the race that was gone. No. So then, on the Adam side and so on, but this time around, he's not going to create a new race, as far as we know in the Bible and so forth. After all, he promised Israel that the descendants of Abraham shall inherit this earth in Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, he even said that, which I will make, shall remain before me, said the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remains. So he won't create a new race like he did in after the Abrahamic. No, he won't do that and some of that. You know? So we know from the Bible right there. So anyway, let's move on this thing and so forth. You know? So it seems clear from the presence of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden that God intended the human race to populate the earth. And when it became, so thickly populated, you think, and it's full, if you think, to use the surplus population to colonize other spheres. Can you do it? We are thinking that now. What if the earth is all full and so on? Today, now we have 8 billion, right? And so on, that, you know. God's original purpose was that if it's too full, I believe, he can populate other spheres, you know, with the excess population. You know, just thinking that. Is that what Satan is making the scientists of today to do? They are exploring the planet and see they are habitable, right? Satan is always trying to, corrupt or mimic what God will do or has done, right? Today they are looking for all kind of things. They are the biggest telescope ever over there. So I want to see a big bang. They never see a big bang anyway. There's no such a thing, right? And they are looking to planets where they are habitable and so on. Anyway, Satan just try to put his nose, corrupt, and mimic what God probably will do in the future. Now, let's take a look. Our solar system is in its infancy. I'm saying that if this earth got so populated and so full, has not got other plans, let's look at the universe and so on. What are they for? Let's look at it now. Our solar system is only in its infancy. I don't care what people think right now. The earth is the only one of its planets as yet habitable. That's all we know today. Science have been doing all they can to find that there is that life in Mars, life over there. They haven't found life anywhere, as long as you know. So this earth is the only planet in our solar system as we know that is habitable, right? Where are the inhabitants for the other planets to come from? Where are they going to come from? Should we think that the planets of our solar system and the planets of other solar systems, there are many, many other trillions of other systems like our own, like we said before, of which the stars are the suns, were made simply to adorn the heavens for our little earth. Can you imagine? Just for this, our little earth, all those myriads of galaxies and so on, that one God just made them for church and done our little heart. I think he has a greater plan than that. God does not plan things on a small scale at all. And it magnifies his power and wisdom to believe that he created man in his own likeness and endowed man with the power of procreation that he might, by means of man, populate the universe. I believe that's a big man. This is a big God, a glorious God and all that, This magnifies the scheme of redemption. Now, did God give his son to die on Calvary just to redeem a few billions of the human race? That is? He could have blotted out the human race, right? He could have done it if he wanted. As he did probably before before Adam, like in the pre-Adamic time, he blotted, he wiped them out at that time and something like that, And then created a new race. He didn't want to do that. If he did that, Satan will now laugh. Now, if he blotted out this other race from Adam, then Satan will laugh. The pre-Adamic war was blotted out, then he blotted. Now, second time again, I frustrate the plan of God. You didn't, Satan, you didn't. You don't know nothing about God. You just know little, not all things about God. You're not on that science and so that, Satan would have laughed and say, if you wipe out this race and so on, would have laughed the second time. Frustrated God's plan and so that, but he can't. No, God will not permit Satan to block his plan for populating this earth, populating this earth with sinless human race, if you wipe out, those who are sinners and so on, be taken out of it and so on, but he will not permit Satan to block him from peopling this earth with sinless human race, the new earth, right? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not merely to redeem a few billions of the human race, but to redeem the earth itself too, like we said the other day, and the race itself from the curse of sin and the dominion of Satan, all those inclusive in the redemption of Christ. The Apostle James tells us something, that we are only the first fruit of God's creatures. Let's look at James chapter 1 verse 18. It says this, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. We are just first fruit of his creature. So if we are the first fruit of his creature, what then must be the harvest be? What will be the harvest then? If we are just the first fruit of his creature, what will be the harvest? You know? Now, let's see the universe to show you what I'm talking about. The universe is young yet. And even then, the scripture declared that the heavens cannot be measured. Jeremiah 31:37 says this, thus said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the heart stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord. To put this in perspective, how great the universe is and so on, let's take a trip. Quickly, you know, to see how great the universe is and so on. So, I mean, for example, it takes light 3 seconds traveling at 186,000 per second to make a round trip to our moon, just our satellite here, you know. Just take a look around the universe quickly. Going beyond our moon, it took light several minutes to reach Mars. You know how our solar system looks like. You have the Sun, Mercury is the next one, Venus, Earth, Mars, and so on like that, you know. So now, to reach Mars, several minutes. Jupiter is some 40 minutes away. Saturn is over an hour. Nearly 6 hours are required for light to reach the Pluto. Pluto is the most remote of the planets in our solar system. I don't care, the degree to not be a planet anymore. But it's a more remote one, and so the outermost of our planet and some of that, you know. So now it takes 6 hours for light to reach there. Beyond Pluto, now you are going out the out of our solar system. It's a vast gulf of space, many trillions of miles across, before we come to our first neighbors. Light requires nearly 4 years to reach the nearest stars, such as the Alpha Centauri. Our Milky Way galaxy, that's our galaxy, called the Milky Way, is nearly 100,000 light years in diameter. You have seen it in picture, you have seen it like a disk, right? It's about 100,000 light years in diameter. Don't forget, a light year is approximately 6 trillion miles. If you want to catch it, one light year is 6 trillion miles. So the diameter of our Milky Way is about 600,000 trillion miles. That is 6 followed by 17 zeros. How great our galaxy is and so on. To show the universe that God has created and so on, as you know. The Andromeda galaxy. It's 2 million light years distance and ranging out now hundreds of millions of light years and millions of great galaxies similar to in size and magnitude to our own Milky Way. Astronomers have discovered stellar systems that are billions of light years distance, and there appears to be no finish out of the universes. I put an S there, right? Universes. But they continue on out to the utmost limits of telescopic view. It appears that the universe is infinite in size as far as man is concerned. But what with the Lord knows them all. Psalm 147 verse 5 says this, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite, And then verse 4 says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. See, that's God. He's the creator. He knows them. Though to man, they are infinite, right? Science in our generation has discovered that the universe is expanding at a rapid rate. It says the stars and the great island universes are spreading out to feed the universe, the utmost of which are moving at a speed approaching that of light, scientists say. The scientific conclusion is that there is no end to the starry space. That's a conclusion. Hasn't God said that before by the mouth of Jeremiah? Can't measure it, the Bible says, you know. So let me see. These are facts that the Bible already disclosed thousands of years ago. God is stretching out, is spreading out his creation to feed the infinitude of space. Let's look at some scripture that says that. The same Jeremiah says, again, chapter 10 of verse 12, Jeremiah 10, verse 12, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. The Bible says, Psalm 104 verse 2 says the same thing. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Isaiah the prophet in chapter 40 verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Job, as far as we know, understand Job's book. Job 9 verse 7. Which commanded the sun, and it rises not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waters of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Praise ye the Lord. Wow. Now, we can now begin to understand what David said by the Holy Ghost in Psalm 8, the third verse. I haven't read that scripture to you. Let's see if you can understand what David was trying to say now by the Holy Ghost in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. So, but we know this. Despite all those things, the creation of man is wonderful, of course. He had been endued with faculties, meaning man, capable of intelligently understanding and admiring the great works of the living God, and in turn freely giving this great eternal one the worship, those who have known him, who have received him as their Lord and Savior. Given all this, we see that we are only in the beginning of things. For the scripture says in Isaiah 9 verse 7, of the increase of his government in the Lord Jesus Christ and peace, there shall be no end. That's what the Bible says concerning him. You know, there shall be no end. The increase of his government and peace, you know. Now, when this earth shall have gone through the fire baptism, and shall be again fit for the occupancy of man, the representatives of the saved nation, the Bible said in 21 of Revelation 24, will be men and women in whom no taint of sin will remain. That's God's plan, according to the word of God. And who cannot therefore impart it to their offspring, no more sin, right? Who will be like the offspring of Adam and Eve would have been if they had not sinned. the original purpose of God will be established, you know. This magnifies the whole scheme of redemption and justifies God in the creation of the human race, you know. Obviously, more people will inhabit heaven than some are inclined to really think. The new earth, illuminated by its glory, will be a perfect civilization where holiness and righteousness will dwell. Now, in this new Jerusalem and so forth, or in the new earth, even too, instead of competition and rivalries, which are the motivating impetus of the present human society, love will be the prevailing law. The citizens of that heavenly community will be knit together as members of one body, each fitted for a particular task, each contributing its part in the great economy of God. That's God's plan. For each true member of the church, there is a place prepared. Yet, some who claim to be disciples of Christ loiter in the race. Some today who say they are Christians. They are loitering, spiritual loitering, just walking aimlessly, you know. Not really know understanding the perfect will of God. There should be no spiritual loitering, given all that I have said this morning about the New Jerusalem, the eternal home of the bride. We should not be of them who are loitering in this world spiritually at all. But many are doing it, and we will be praying that God will deliver such and so on. They should remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when speaking to the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3:11. We have described the New Jerusalem in a nutshell. We will talk about the universe. Are they just created for nothing? Or God will one day let this world be so populated and, you know, it will feed those other places with, you know, with the race? No? We cannot look at that and so forth. Now, we are now talking about, if we know all these things, what manner of men ought we to be? Peter said in the order of his epistles, in our conversation, I mean, know that this army will be dissolved one day and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so now, so the Lord begins to warn them in the Philadelphia church and so on. He said in Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. You see, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. The truth you have heard about the coming of the Lord, truth you have heard about the soon coming of the Lord and so on, hold them tight. Don't let anybody deceive you. This one indicates that the reward intended for the Christian could, if we allow ourselves to falter in this race, be lost forever. It could be. That's what the one is all about. I mean, you have to keep your eye open, you know, and some of that, you know. Otherwise, how can Lord give this one? Let no man steal your crown. It could, if we are careless, you know. Let us not forget the lesson of the parable of the great supper. We discussed the New Jerusalem, right? The eternal home of the bride. I'm saying now that we have to be careful, you know, that no man steal our crown to be member of that New Jerusalem, which Abraham in his own time used to look towards to and so on about, you know. So the parable of the great supper, many were called to that feast, but when the invitation was ignored or taken lightly, the Lord commanded that his servants, that is in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. One thing is sure, the loitering Christian should be aware. If you are loitering spiritually, be aware that this, that whether you accept or whether you decline God's invitation, God's house will be filled. Take care of yourself and watch what you are doing, that no man see your crown. May the Lord account us worthy to be of them who hold fast that which we have, and that no man takes our crown. May we be full of expectation concerning his promise in John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, this is where your eyes should be, my eyes should be. I will come again, he said, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord said, verse 4, that same chapter. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in other words, that's for salvation and so on. But even more than that, the Lord Jesus is the way to the celestial city. Amen? Praise the Lord. He is the way to the celestial city, the New Jerusalem. He has gone before us and is preparing an eternal home for all of us who have become children of God through faith in his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Wow. No matter what city you look in this world, whether it is Venice, whether it's Lisbon, I don't care, or Dubai, or whatever it is, nothing compare to this New Jerusalem, this new city that the Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing, you know, for his bride. And it can come anytime for that bride. So this morning, let us keep our eyes open. Be not distracted now. Bible says to be quiet, doing your business, and waiting and looking for the coming of the Lord. That's what the apostle told us. Apostle Paul told us in so many scriptures and so on. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ for what awaits us, O Lord, who by the grace of God remains faithful and watchful, O Lord God, for all these things, Lord, O God. Book of Revelation in particular, you know, all these promises that you have read about this morning, Lord, help us, O Lord God, to be patient, O Lord, patiently waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Living quietly according to the word of God, doing our business, not be busybody in other men's matters, the Bible tells us, not living by the fruit of the Spirit, not trusting the Lord, you know, for all he has promised for this church, contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be of them. Bible says the love of many shall grow cold at the end of the age. Help us not to be of such. And if there be any of your children who are in this condition, our prayer this morning is that, Lord God, Lord, that you will revive them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, glory be to your name, Lord. Understanding the sign of the time. Let us not be of Israel, who knew not the hour of their visitation. But Lord, they were example to us that we not be like that. Lord, we thank you for the week that you have just entered now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your abiding presence. Lord, we know, O Lord God, you say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. No matter what we think or feel, you do not change. You are always with us. Lord, help us to discern that presence everywhere we go. Commit all about us to your hand, our work, our business, our working with you, Lord. We commit them all to your hand, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let our favor be with us as you have promised everywhere we turn. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in you, Lord, to supply all our need. He that spare not his son, but deliver him for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Yeah. Bible says all things are ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God, the Bible tells us, and we are joined here with Christ. So therefore we do greatly rejoice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach our hands to walk and our fingers to fight. As it is not bow and gun, Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let us see by the Holy Spirit, that Lord, and the word of God, that we are more than conquerors. That's who we are. Through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that strengthened us. The Lord will perfect all that which concerns us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.